Turn to the book of Lamentations. That's after Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Lamentations right before the book of Ezekiel. By the way, we have three visitors with us today. I have Brother Joe McHale and his daughter. Help me again, Brother.
Cheyenne.
I thought so, but my short-term memory is no better than my long-term memory. And they're with us, and then he has a son that is downstairs, going downstairs with Brother June right now. So we're glad they're with us. This is a dear friend, and I love this man a lot. Lamentations, chapter 3. All right, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. I got to tell you something funny. When I was a child memorizing the books of the Bible, my mom, I had a hard time saying Lamentations. So she said, just think of lemons. So every time I think of the word Lamentations, I think of yellow lemons for some reason. Brother Mike, could you help them stand up? It'll just help them participate. They're not in trouble. They're just needing to learn they don't run things. Amen. Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to read verses 21 through 26 together. We'll read this passage responsively. And I am just so excited about this truth. I cannot wait. All right. Lamentations 3:21 through 26. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you this morning. Lord, I want so badly for the people in this room to get a hold of the truth that you have for us today. I pray that you'd help us to listen attentively. May we let the Holy Spirit work through us so that we could get the truth, burn it deep into our hearts, our minds, and may we live it today, please, in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. Today, I want to help you. Do me a favor. I want you to put all of your thoughts aside. I want you to forget about what's going on at home, what you have to go home to. Lunch, whatever problems you have, I wish you just kind of put it under the seat right now. Ladies, don't shove your husband there. I want you to listen to me. I can help every person in this room today. I don't care if you're the youngest person in the room, to the oldest person in the room, to the person that seems like they have more troubles than anybody else. If you'll listen today, I can help you. I live my life trying to pump life and hope back into people. I do. I deal with people that live in despair. I live with people who are depressed. Now, I don't live with them, but I live working with them. My wife is not in despair or depressed unless it's about me. But life is hard. The events of life, sickness, pain, death, battles, finances, accidents, and I don't mean this the wrong way, just the plain meanness of sin itself. There's little to nothing that we can do to change the events of life. But may I say this, you don't need to lose hope. You don't need to lose hope. Lamentations 3:21 says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Almost every, well, let me rephrase that, every week of my life. Sometimes, almost every day of every week, I hear someone say, there's no hope. Preacher, why did God let this happen? Preacher, how come God didn't stop this? Preacher, why did something bad happen to somebody that's good? I just don't understand. Well, let me start with this. God didn't sin. We did. God's not a sinner. We are sinners. God made heaven available for sinners so that we don't have to die and go to hell.
Hallelujah.
But may I say this? We still, though we are saved and will never face the judgment for our sin, there is still something called the law of sowing and reaping. And there are still consequences for sin. Now, he made heaven available for us, but the law of sowing and reaping is still there. I'm going to make this statement several times today. I want you to listen to it. If God stopped the bad thing for you, he couldn't let any bad thing happen to anyone based on sin, or God's justice would not be just.
It's true.
Period. If God stopped the bad thing for Brother Brian from happening, his dear wife dying because of cancer just in the last 6 months or so, but he didn't stop it for Larry and Sherry when Sherry's brother Ricky died, God couldn't be just. You have to understand, God's justice is there. And it wasn't God's fault that all of us are sinners. We chose to sin.
Yes.
We chose it. Now, listen to me very carefully. We get into this battle with God that we expect him to see life our way. And though he may see it our way, justice requires him to let some things happen. Isn't it amazing? Watch this. Brother Brian, even though your wife went to heaven, God made heaven available for you.
Amen.
And your kids.
Yes, sir.
Now, we're not happy about it. But guess what? She's not suffering with her cancer anymore. She's got every little boy and girl up in heaven gathered around her. Because that's the kind of lady she was. She's mama in heaven. Can I tell you something? She's in a far better place, though the bad thing came our way. Watch this. God didn't sin. We did. God's justice must prevail. If God stopped a bad thing for you, he would have to stop all bad from happening to every sinner, lost and saved. Did you get that? God can't stop or prevent the results of sin happening, because his justice requires that. But his mercy made heaven available for us. Now, since the first sin in Genesis chapter 3, we seem to want to judge God through our eyes and through our minds and how life affects us. Can I tell you something? You're not here to judge God. You're not here to determine the justice of life. You're not here to decide what should be punishment, what should not be punishment. But you have to understand something. Did you know that that's not even punishment? It's just life. It is the effects of sin. Just like as I plant my garden every year, I get weeds. Amen, Brother June? If I plant my flowers, I get weeds. They're going to be there. Every time I got to go out to the stupid garden or the flowers and pull weeds, get on my hands and knees, and after three wheelbarrow loads full, Brother Mike, I usually say, why did I have to be such a bad sinner? It reminds me of my sin. By the way, I've gotten past the point where I say I want to grab Adam by the nose and punch him in the nose when I get to heaven, because guess what? Had he not sinned, I would have. Not his fault, it's mine. I sinned, not just him. We're all sinners.
Yes, sir.
So, it's not somebody else's fault, like Hillary wants everybody to think. It's our fault. God did not intend for us to face sin, death, sorrow, despair, and the pain that we face today. He did not make us for us to face that. But when man chose to sin, he faced those things. Now listen to me very carefully here. God cannot promise to keep bad things from happening. But God does not sin. Sin affects far more than just the one sinning. Sometimes you reap the fruit of someone else's sin. Brother Ron was out soul winning yesterday, and they knocked on the door, and dog decided to get real friendly and bite his leg. Now, wait a minute. I don't think God planned on Brother Ron getting bit by a dog yesterday. That's something the devil might plan, but not God. But guess what? Brother Ron was still doing good. Thank God he wasn't hurt real, real bad. Only had to go get a tetanus shot. God bless him. They're not giving me one of those things. I'm allergic to those things. But, and it better be glad he didn't bite me, because I probably would have put the dog down right there. Now, wait a minute. God did not make us to be robots either. You know, God didn't make you to be a computer. God did not make man to put a response back, though he programmed that response in. He wants us to love him. He wants us to obey him because we want to, not because we just have to, because he's forcing us to.
Right.
Come on up here, Malachi. His mom and dad want him to obey. There's times they have to force him to obey, but may I say this, forced obedience is not obedience. He's already proven disobedience. They're trying to get him to obey. So obey your mom and dad, all right? Been waiting to do that. Get everybody to smile. Wait a minute. The day he gets mature enough, and has been already, and he says, I'm going to obey because I'm supposed to, that makes mom and dad happy.
Amen.
That makes life a little easier for everybody.
So
the more you start obeying because you want to, not because you have to, the better life gets. That's called growing up. Thank you. Can I tell you something? As a Christian, the more you start obeying God because you're supposed to and want to, not because you have to. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church.
Yes.
And I crawled out of bed at 4:30 this morning, got my shower and got on the road by 5 this morning, was here shortly thereafter. Can I tell you something? It wasn't, well, I have to get up. I didn't set an alarm. Never do. Say why? Man, I get to get up at 3:30 when I was awake. I started praying for a group of preachers for the first hour of the morning before I got up. I was just enthralled with God for that hour. Can I tell you something? When you love God because you want to, not because he come, you know, God doesn't come down and smack you in the head and make you do anything. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Again, I spend my life trying to help the depressed, those in despair, the hurt, the bitter, the confused, and the angry people of this world. I spend so much of my time trying to put hope back into people who feel there is no hope. May I say something? There is hope. There is hope. There is always hope. Now, God may not be able to keep the negative from coming your way, but he's promised us that there is always going to be hope. Now, I'm about to shout. Though God's justice is perfect, his mercy is equally perfect. Though God's justice is perfect, his mercy is equally perfect. Look at Lamentations chapter 3 again. Look at verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, he promises us, God promises that there is mercy equal every day to the justice that is coming. There is mercy that equals the justice that will be meted out. Now, I must say this. He cannot change his justice, because if he changed his justice, he would no longer be God. But he can promise mercy equal to the justice. God has promised mercy equal to the justice that he must give. The sun may set with justice, but it's rising with mercy.
The
sun might go down on justice, but it's coming up with mercy. Whew, what a wonderful truth. What a wonderful truth. Our hope, listen to this, our hope then is not based on that no wrong or no pain or no sorrow or no grief or no evil will happen. Our hope is not to be based on the fact that no negative will come our way. That is false hope.
You're right.
That is hope based on the flesh. But our hope is based on the fact that God's mercy will see us through anything that happens or comes our way. Our hope isn't based on that nothing negative will come. Our hope is God's mercy is equal to the negative and we'll get through it with his help. That is our hope. If our hope is only that negative will not happen, you will lose hope. Did you know you can't live without something negative happening? It's going to be there. And the way some of us live, it's there all the time. Now, listen to me very carefully. Today, I want to talk to you about the fact that there's still hope. No matter the situation you face, no matter how bad the pain, there is still hope. And I got to hurry. Number one, God's justice must remain or he is not God. God's justice must remain or he is not God. Brother Neil, I wish you didn't have some of the negative things you've had in your life. But can I tell you something? God's still God. God didn't change it. And he didn't change his justice just because he loved us. Take your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Just back, 100 pages or so in your Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I want to show you something here. I'm going to use the Bible a little bit this morning, but I want to show you something that'll bless your gizzard. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, starting in verse 1. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sanctifieth and to him that sanctifieth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth is he that feareth an oath. There is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Verse 4, for to him that is joined all living there is hope. Notice it. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. I want you to notice, God tells us here, there's one event that's going to happen to everybody, good or bad, wise or foolish, evil or righteous. It's called death. But as long, let me put it in paraphrase here, as long as you're still sucking air, you got hope.
Amen.
As long as you have not been dead, can I tell you something? There's still hope. It doesn't matter how bad the situation, there is still hope. God can't stop the sowing and reaping for the consequences of sin. Or he wouldn't be just. Do you know that if God stopped the sowing and reaping process for Brother Stoltz, because Brother Stoltz is a good man, but he didn't stop it for Brother Joe Heaney, that God wouldn't be just?
That's God picking and choosing then somebody over another. By the way, if he didn't do it for the lost person, he wouldn't be just either. Listen to this statement. Mercy is not the absence of punishment. Mercy is applying the punishment with love and showing a way to get through the punishment.
Yes, sir.
That's what mercy is. When you tell your kid, if you do that one more time, you're going to get whatever, 5 spankings. Can I tell you something? If you say, well, because you've been not so bad, I'm only going to give you 3 spankings. That's not just. If he said what the punishment was, you give him the punishment. God doesn't stop punishment for anything because that's not mercy. Mercy is the ability to get through the punishment with the help of God.
Yes.
Everybody understand that? Everybody doing okay? Somebody rattle your head. All right, here we go. I know it's been cold and snowy out there, but it's not in here. It's fine, I promise you. Hell was created for Satan and the angels that followed him. According to the book of Matthew, hell was created for the devil and the angels that followed him. Why is it then that man, because of sin, must face hell? Because God's justice is perfect, and because man committed the same sin that the devil committed, guess what? The same punishment is on us. Hell was created before man was created. The devil was cast out of heaven and into hell before man was created. So God said, I have a standard set for a punishment for sin. By the way, that's why the devil in Genesis chapter 3 got us to do the same thing he did to God. You don't need God to tell you what's right and wrong. You choose right and wrong for yourself. You be God. You don't need him to be God. Wow. God then, therefore, has to place the same punishment on the same sin no matter who it is. Now watch this. Did you know that God reigns on the just and the unjust?
Yes, sir, he does.
You know that when the earth needs rain, we need productivity. He doesn't do it just for the saved. He does it for the lost. You know that the people that hate Jehovah God, listen to this very carefully. God takes care of their needs as much as the people that are Christians. He feeds them. He gives them air to breathe. He gives them the ability to make a living. God is God to everybody, whether they're saved or lost. The Bible says he reigns on the just and the unjust. God is there to take care of all humanity, because if he can keep them alive long enough, maybe they'll submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Evil effects. The evil and the effects of sin are placed on all humans, because we're all sinners. Did you know mercy isn't taking punishment away? I played a lot of sports as a young person. I like competition. Now, I've gotten to the point where competition doesn't mean anything to me anymore. I guess I'm getting old. But I'm just to the point where a game is a game, period. You know, a round of golf is a round of golf. A baseball game is a baseball game. A football game is a football game. A basketball game is a basketball game. Do I want my team to win? Yes, but my life's not affected either way, whether they win or lose. I like kind of competing with my boys in college football. I am an Ohio State Buckeye fan. No comments. When you grow up in Ohio, you're born with a football in one hand and a Buckeye in the other, all right? It's just inbred in you, and you learn to hate Michigan. Sorry, Brother June, but that's the way it is. And people in Michigan hate people in Ohio. It's just, that's the way it is. Matter of fact, at Ohio State University, they don't say Michigan. They say the team up north. They're not allowed to use the word Michigan in the locker room ever. Matter of fact, on the schedule in the locker room, when they play Michigan, it's the team up north. They don't even write the word. That's how bad they hate them, all right? It's just the way it is. Just like people in Eastern Ohio don't like the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know, we just don't. And it's just inbred. Now, my son, Jeff, is a Clemson fan. He was born in South Carolina. He likes Clemson. And for some reason, he just likes Clemson. Well, this year, Ohio State plays Clemson in the playoffs. This is going to be a battle, let me tell you. Can I tell you something? If Clemson beats Ohio State, my life doesn't change one little bit. Now, I'll trash talk all the way up to the end of the game. Believe me, just because it's fun. But I don't give a rip. Now, wait a minute. My daughter's boyfriend likes Alabama. God have mercy. The altar needs to be a little bigger for him. He's an Alabama fan. Oh, you talk about trash talking. Man, we trash talked all year last year. And Alabama won. He's been digging it in. I don't care who beats Alabama as long as somebody does. Now, wait a minute. Even if Alabama wins the whole thing, guess what? My life is not affected at all. Not at all. I can have fun with it, yes. But in playing sports, when I was a kid, they had in baseball, they had something called a 10-run rule. How many of you all know what I'm talking about? All right? That meant if your team, after a certain inning, was more than 10 runs ahead, the game was over, and the team that had more than 10 runs ahead, they stopped the game out of mercy for the other team. Does that mean that you lost the game because of that? If you were the team ahead? No. The mercy was you stopped the game so that it wasn't worse. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I've been on both sides of that mercy rule. It's fun when you're on the winning side, but it's not real fun on the losing side. But there are times you're glad it's over. Now, mercy does not take the consequences away of justice. The mercy rule didn't mean, well, because you were more than 10 runs ahead, you're penalized and you don't win the game, nobody wins. That's liberal philosophy. God has to be just with all humans the same way, or he is not just. If God does it for one, he must do it for all. Did you know that Jesus didn't come and pay the price for people who were just a certain color, or a certain race, or a certain denomination? You know that Jesus didn't come and pay the price for certain people that are only a certain size? Thank God. Yeah. Do you know that he came to die for every human being? Did you know that if you told a lie or you murdered somebody, you qualify for salvation? Amen. Revelation chapter 21, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the sorcerers and all whoremongers shall have their part that burneth in the lake of fire. Now watch this. God put liars in the same group. That means everybody that's committed any sin, doesn't matter how bad you think the sin is, it's worthy of death and hell.
Amen. Right.
But Jesus paid the price for you. That's the good part of it. That's God's mercy. God is not unfair by allowing some to go to heaven and some not to go to heaven. Did you know that the ISIS terrorist today, that if he comes in contact with the gospel and gets saved, will die and go to heaven just like you and me? Do you know that the person in the pagan lands of different parts of our world and in the Far East and in Africa and in South America, that if they're worshiping idols and these tribal type things, do you know if they come in contact with the gospel that they can get saved too?
Yes, sir. I've seen it happen.
Wait a minute. God will be the same for everybody. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everybody doing all right? Now, we should not hope that God will stop all bad from us. He must be God. Our hope is he will go through the bad with us and show us mercy. Amen. Everybody listen to this. Did you know that God didn't stop the flood in Genesis chapter 8, 9, and 10? But he showed mercy to Noah. By the way, any human being that would have gotten saved, gotten on that boat, God would have allowed them to get on that boat.
Yes, sir. I agree with that.
Door was open for 120 years.
Yep,
yes. Nobody else would do it.
Right.
God made it available for all. Once he shut the door, it was over. As it is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. So as long as you're still sucking air, you have hope.
Amen. This guy in Alabama that they executed this week. Up until the time he quit breathing, he had a chance to get saved. Hopefully he got saved. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. Say, preacher, what about these terrorists? I believe everybody ought to get a chance to hear the gospel and get saved. But it doesn't stop the punishment that comes thereafter. Just because somebody gets saved doesn't mean if they committed a crime worthy of death that they shouldn't be put to death. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun here. Look at Job. God did not stop him losing all of his businesses, the death of 10 of his children, the disloyalty of his wife, the destruction of his health. God didn't stop it. Now watch this. You say, why? Because that's justice because of sin. But watch this. God gave Job mercy. He got through all those things and God gave him back twice as much as he had before. That's God's mercy. What about, and I'll use this tonight, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. God did not keep them from the fiery furnace.
That's right.
But he did meet them in the fiery furnace, and they came out. Not a hair on their head singed, their clothes didn't smell like smoke, and they went inbound and came out unbound.
Yes.
Daniel in the lion's den. God did not keep Daniel from the lion's den. But he did go into the lion's den and give the lion's lockjaw for the night. He unlocked the lockjaw because the people that made the decision to put Daniel in there, they got thrown in for breakfast and got ate up. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 12 says, and you don't need to turn there, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Hope deferred when our despair comes, when we misplace our hope. When our hope is that nothing bad is going to come our way. Everybody look at me for a second. You have to resolve to the fact negative things are going to come your way. My hope is not that something bad doesn't come my way. My hope is when the bad does come, he's going to go through that with me.
Amen.
Whew. Everybody, let's talk reality. I want everybody to look at me for a second. Some of you need to slap yourself and wake up.
Amen.
Listen to me very carefully here. I know my 98-year-old grandmother's going to die one of these days. Brother Micah talked to her yesterday. She's spunkier than ever. Broke her shoulder a couple months ago. She one tough old German. She's going to outlive everybody. I said, Grandma, how you feeling? She said, well, got my good days, got my bad days, but at least I'm still having some good ones.
Amen.
Gotta love that attitude at 98, don't you? Oh, wait a minute. I've preached two of my grandparents' funerals. I've preached one of my wife's grandparents' funerals. She's the last living grandparent between her and I. I'm gonna preach her funeral. My grandmother and I have met four different times about her funeral message. I have it almost all prepared. Say, why? You sound weird, preacher. No, because when the time comes, I'm going to hurt and I'm going to miss her, but I'm going to help my family through it.
Amen.
I know the day's coming. If the Lord tarries, I'll have to preach my own parents' funeral. You think I'm excited about that? You're nuts. But guess what? I also know God's going to go through it with me. And it's going to be all right. Because though they be absent here, they'll be present there.
Amen.
Man, I've got hope in that. I do. I have hope for that. Now, I'm not looking for them to go on the next train. Amen. I hope I have them for a long time. But if the Lord tarries natural life in the next 10, 20 years, I'm going to do their funeral.
I shouldn't despair if my parents pass. If my grandmother passes away today, I shouldn't be in despair over it. Good night. She was supposed to die 10, 12 years ago. She gives up every once in a while. And I keep pumping her back up. She broke her shoulder. She said, I think this is it. I think I'm just going to go ahead and give up. I said, Grandma, don't do that. She said, I don't know why God still has me here. I said, to pray for me. I said, I need you. All right. I'll keep praying. But I just don't know why God still has me here. I do. I said, as long as you're still sucking air, Grandma, keep on praying for me. We need you. Stick your crooked old bony little finger that doesn't point straight. She got pointed this way to point it at you. Amen. She'll take that old crooked finger. The last time my wife and I were with her, she said, don't you miss, you just put me in the ground. She said, you don't miss your church to come do my service. I said, Grandma, I won't miss church. I won't do it on a Sunday or Wednesday. We'll schedule it around it, but my church already knows it's coming, and they can do without me for a day or two. Don't you let your church suffer over the fact that I die and go to heaven. I said, don't worry, Grandma. It'll be all right. I mean, she's already rebuking me for it, and it hadn't happened. Now, wait a minute. Don't despair. Your despair comes when you think no bad should happen. When your hope is nothing negative is going to happen, and negative happens, that's when you get despair. Number two, we use the Word of God to find our hope. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I want to show you some verses here. I'm about to shout. I'm going to get a couple of you fellas to shout for me. Amen, Brother Mike? Man. Psalm 119, look at verse number 81. Psalm 119, verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Woo. There is hope in the word of God. Look at Psalm 119, verse 114. Just across the page there for many of you. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Look at Psalm 130, verse number 5. Psalm 130, verse number 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Can I tell you something? This is the place that you'll find hope.
Amen.
This is the place you will find hope. These are the words of God, and according to his words, his hope is found in his word. That's why we're not supposed to mess with his words. That's why I was working in Jeremiah this week, and man, you talk about a warning against preachers that screw up the word of God. Wow, he places some serious punishment on it. Can I tell you something? You're to run to the word of God when things go negative, not run from the word of God.
Amen.
We're not supposed to say, well, I tried it and it didn't work because look what happened. You're looking at what happened, not the truth. Did you know that if you plant corn, you're going to get corn? Brother Larry, if you plant taters, you're not going to get tomatoes. And when you get taters instead of tomatoes, and you look at God and said, I wanted tomatoes, but I planted potato plants, how come you didn't give me tomatoes? You know, you're going to look pretty crazy out there arguing with God. Why is it that we sinners say, well, I'm a sinner, but I still deserve good. I don't deserve negative happening.
Right.
What's the difference? It's called the law of sowing and reaping. Everybody doing okay? The word of God is the answer to our hope. Run to it, don't run from it. The world has no hope. Listen to this statement. The world has no hope because they've kicked the Bible out. We live in a hopeless society because we've kicked God out, we've kicked the Word of God out, and look where we are. Look at the public school system today. We say it's hopeless. Can I tell you why? Because in the 1960s, they kicked that out.
That's right.
Our college campuses, are a place of no hope. Can I tell you why? Because they kicked the Bible out. Our government seems hopeless. You say why? Because we've kicked the Word of God out of it. Our society. Why is it that we're afraid to speak up about the Word of God? Well, we might offend somebody. Well, their lack of the Word of God offends me. Bless God, I'm going to give it all I got. Some of us men went to a ball game this summer out to Frederick. About 4,000 or 5,000 people there. I leaned over to Brother Mike. I said, Brother Mike, man, what I wouldn't give for 15 minutes of my Bible out here. Give me a microphone. I've preached to crowds that big before. Man, you give me a microphone for 15 minutes, I can get the gospel out in a hurry. I know some people be scared to death. I'm scared not to. It would not bother me a bit. Say why? Because I'm for getting the Word of God out. I don't care what it offends. I'm not the offender. They're the sinner. They have offended God. And they need salvation to change them. Can I tell you something? We're to read the Word of God. We're to be in church to hear it taught and preached to us so that we have hope. Can I tell you, when you get the lowest in despair, the lowest in depression, usually is because you don't have enough of the Word of God in your life. You're so centered on you and what's happened to you that you're not reading what God says to do about it. Amen. Everybody doing all right?
Yes,
I don't mean to be unkind, but our selfish pity parties cause this despair. When you get your eyes off yourself and into the Word of God, there is hope.
Amen.
Say, preacher, how do you stay up all the time? I stay in that book. I've gotten all the way through the Bible over three times already this year. Not because I'm such a smart person. I need it so that I can help people have hope.
Yes, sir.
That's my hope, so that I don't get down with you. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Brother Harry Sear had five-way bypass surgery just 2 weeks ago. He was planning on being here this morning, but had a little bit of a rough night. He's okay, just didn't sleep very much. He went to the doctor for the first time since surgery on Friday. Went to the doctor. The doctor saw the pictures and he said, wow, it's a good thing you went to the doctor. Harry sat on the edge of the table there. And it wasn't the guy that did the surgery. It's the doctor that referred him to go have the cath done. He said, it's a good thing my preacher was there. He said, what do you mean? He said, did you know the guy that did the cath was going to send me home for a week? He said, they didn't take you right to surgery? He said, no, sir. He said, they were going to send me home for a week and get through the holidays and come back. He said, you'd have never made it home. He said, that's what my preacher said. My preacher said, don't get out of that bed. He said, good thing you listened to that person. They knew what they were talking about. He said, you were an explosion waiting for a place to happen. He said, that's exactly what my preacher said. He called me a time bomb. He said, very appropriate.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? That's called hope.
Amen.
That was hope. We weren't looking at the situation. Why did this happen? Doesn't matter why. We got to get through it. There was mercy available. Sun went down with justice, but it came up with mercies. And they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Yes.
Glory to God. You need to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. The more Bible you get, the more hope you have.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The more you pump it into your brain, the more hope you'll have for the rest of your life. I promise you. I got to hurry. I've got 6 minutes. Get your Bible ready. Our hope is in Jesus, who has paid our sin debt for us. Take your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 1 in the New Testament. Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 27 to you. And I don't have time to wait for you, so hang on, folks. Here it goes. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Can I tell you something? Turn to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. And again, as soon as I get there, I'm going to read it. But Psalm 146, verse number 5, the Bible says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Wow. Joel chapter 3, verses 16 talks about our hope is in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13:13. I'll take a moment and turn there. 1 Corinthians 13:13. It's in here somewhere. Hang on. I want to preach, not just read, but here we go. For verse 12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am also known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Can I tell you something? Hope is listed with faith and love. God says it's eternal and it's there all the time and it's found in Jesus. Can I tell you something? The worst thing that happens to me is I stay alive. Oh no, death would be worse. No, it's not. Because then I'm with God and there's no more sin for me.
Amen.
But he has left me here. He is the hope of eternity. Can I tell you something? That's why at death of a Christian, the Bible says we don't sorrow as those that have no hope.
That's right.
Bless God, Brother Brian. When Miss Selena took her last breath here, there's still hope. You're going to see her again. Rhonda, when Ray was killed in the truck accident back in May, there's still hope. We're going to see him again someday. Oh, we don't see him now, but because of Jesus, we will see him for eternity.
Yes.
We're going to see her for eternity. Sherry, we're going to see Ricky again. Glory to God. Say, how do you know that? Because 5 weeks before he died, I stood at his door, opened up my Bible, and won that man to Jesus Christ. Watched him bow his head and
Amen.
Trust Jesus.
Amen.
5 weeks later, he was walking streets of gold. Brother Fred, you're going to see the colonel again. He had a spell the day you got saved. So did a lot of other people. Say, why? Because his hope was in glory. It was Christ in you, the hope of glory. Can I tell you something? That's why the world is so wicked and such in despair. And please, give me just a moment here. Do you know how stupid it is to get drunk? I'm sorry. Why would anybody want to drink something to make you so stupid? It doesn't even taste good. It can't the way it smells. It's all it is rotten stuff. It's like going out to the manure pile and squeezing it and drinking it.
Right.
It's no different.
That's right.
Then you drink enough of it that it makes you sick and makes you throw up. It ruins everybody's life around you. It makes zero sense to me.
That's right. Amen.
And yet that's the hope for most of the lost world.
Yep. Yes, sir.
The old beer commercials. Weekends were made for Bud Dummer or whatever. Can I tell you something? There is no hope in a liquor bottle.
Right. No.
Not a bit.
That's right.
There is no hope in heroin or crack or marijuana or LSD or anything else they're shooting into their veins.
Nice.
Young people, listen to me. Drugs are not the answer.
Amen.
There is no hope in them. Not a bit. Well, it makes me forget for a while. And when you wake up from your forgetting, it's worse. You're only making it worse. What this world needs is a good old dose of Jesus and the gospel. They don't need hydrocodone or oxycodone. They need the gospel. We don't need a psychoanalyst, a psychiatrist, or a psychotic. We need Jesus, the great physician. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun.
Amen.
I wish people would listen to the... Did you know that Truth, Wally was involved in the medical field for so long, she said, "Preacher, how do you do this?" Can I tell you why? Because God's truths are the same.
Yes. Amen.
I've been around it so much that when last Sunday morning when Wiley thought his dad was having a heart attack and he told me where the pain was, I said, no, he's got gallstones. They took his gallbladder out on Wednesday or Tuesday. Took it out on Tuesday and he went home on Wednesday. Everybody else thought he had a heart attack. I said, pain's here, not up here. I said, that's in your belly. That's not up in your chest. God bless Miss Mung. She looked at her father-in-law and said, my preacher's name's got a doctor before it. Now you know why. I started laughing. I couldn't help it. I just think it's funny. Can I tell you something? You don't have to lose hope. Brother Mike, someday this old ugly carcass is going to pass away. Going to die. Brother Stoltz, when they put me in the box, don't open the box. I don't want anybody to see me when I'm dead. Good night, I'm ugly enough when I'm alive. I don't want anybody walking by saying, oh, doesn't he look good? I'm sorry, no dead body ever looked good. If you got to wait till I'm dead to say that, don't say it at all. Good night. Close the stupid lid and have a party. I'm in heaven playing tag with the angels. I'm going to be reassociating with folks that I know that are already there. I am not going to be in that box. Don't cry an awful lot. Now, I want my wife to cry a little. Yeah, quit that. But can I tell you something? I'm not going to be there. The worst that happens is she got to put up with me longer. Can I tell you something? We have eternity awaiting us. Why are we so discouraged about what happens down here? Well, I just don't understand. They're good people. And why do bad things happen to good people? Because all of us are sinners and we're not as good as we think we are. Well, I don't understand why my mom and dad divorced and now I've got step-parents or I got step-children or I got step-up or step-downs or whatever you call those things. It's not fair. It may not be fair, but we're all sinners and there are consequences to sowing and reaping. Quit looking at what's going on around you and decide your hope is in Jesus and that which will not change. You can't change the circumstances of life. Don't you think that Brian and Rhonda and Sherry would change the circumstances of the death of their loved ones? Yes, they would. But can I tell you something? The hope's not into the thought that the bad shouldn't have happened. It's, we're going to see them again someday, and I got enough life left to live down here to do something good with it. I hope somebody gets up at my funeral and preaches away. Cuts loose and sees a whole bunch of people get saved, get right with God, some young people surrender to go do what this preacher's been doing with his whole life. Hey, I couldn't be happier.
Yes.
I think a funeral service ought to be a revival service. I want upbeat music.
Yes.
I don't want any dirge. It will be worth it all. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. And you get that song out someday and sing that one. That one will get you stirred up. You get some of these good old gospel songs out and have a revival service at my... And by the way, I'm not looking to die anytime soon. We got some enemies that sure would like it. Can I tell you something? Our hope is not that bad will not happen. Can I tell you something? You're a sinner. Bad's going to happen.
Yes.
And God can't stop it because of his justice, but he's got mercy that equals it. I want you to notice, you don't have to read there. In this will I hope. About had a spell in my office this week as I worked on this. Hang on. Somebody moved Lamentations in my Bible. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. I fail you. I'm a sinner. I wished I could tell you you had a better preacher than you have. But Brother Joe, I'm a sinner. And I'm going to let you down. But he won't. That book won't. And we have hope. Someday one of our young people are going to disappoint us and do something wrong. That's why it's as wicked as hell to get that young person up and tell the whole church what wrong they did. You can't forgive them anyway. Their sin's under the blood. What right do you have to listen to what they did wrong? Just shut your stinking mouth. How about we restore them and get them back to good health? Amazing, somebody can live a filthy lifestyle for 50, 60, 70 years. They get saved and we say, what a beautiful picture of grace. But you let one of our young people get saved at 4, 5, 6 years old, and then they turn to a teenager, do something wrong, do something stupid, and then we want to kick them out of church for the rest of their life. That's wrong.
That's right.
I hear a pizza. Now, wait a minute. I'm against that kind of mentality. Can I tell you something? Great are thy mercies, and they are new every morning. Can I tell you how to get hope? Every morning, get up and look at the mercy of God. Quit looking at the circumstance of the justice. Get up and look at the mercy of God. Because in the mercy of God, you have hope. You have hope. Say, preacher, how do you make it through so many hard situations? I don't look at the situation. I look at the mercy. I look at Jesus and the Word of God, and I don't look at the situation. Say, but it hurts. Oh, I didn't tell you it didn't hurt. I didn't tell you it didn't hurt deeply. How do you take it when somebody attacks you, preacher? Because I'm not looking at the attack. I'm looking at the mercy on the other side. How do you take it when somebody's been rude to you? That's just driving down the road. Well, how about somebody that used to love you that no longer loves you and they hate you and they've attacked you? I don't look at what they are doing. I look at the mercy of God that equals it out to where I don't have to look at it. And that's how you make it through. God can't stop the negative from coming. But he has already told us he has mercy available for you every day that will equal out whatever justice has to be given. That is our hope. Every head bowed, every eye closed. That is our hope. My dear friend, if you listened today, you were helped. You may not think you need this sermon today, and you may not, but you'll need it one day. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone to take me to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher's tucked away somewhere inside that sermon is something I personally needed today. Would you raise your hand? My hand is up. I'm sure most everybody. You may put them down.